A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Hi there, Adam from Carnivore Today. I'm truly excited to have all of you here as we dive into this conversation with Pastor Jimmy. You can look forward to a fresh viewpoint and captivating conversation stemming from his diverse life experiences. Hi there, Jimmy. Thanks for joining us today.
Of course. It's a pleasure to be with you, Adam.
Awesome. So for our viewers that don't know you, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. Well, I'm a father and a husband. I have three children, all grown and all out of the house. And so I'm actually 61 years old. I'll be 62 in January. And I've been married to my amazing wife for 31 years of wow. We've got an anniversary coming up in a couple of weeks. And Annette and I do everything together. We always say that it's not Jimmy or Annette. It's always Jimmy and Annette. And so that's kind of how we like to live our lives. We've been blessed to work together for 28 of the 30 years that we've been married. And so we've always been on the same team, on the same staff, or leading as pastors, which that's what I do as my profession. I've been a senior pastor, lead pastor for 38 years. And so I'm still smiling, still love what I do. You know, I get to do it. I say every day, I get to do this. This is such a privilege. And so that's a little bit of our background and our story. We've lived around, of course, being pastors. There's a lot of moving around, and we've lived in Los Angeles area, the high desert, actually, of San Bernardino County. We were pastored out there, and then we've been in Nashville as well, and then in Texas several times. But Texas is what we call home.
Nice. So what made you finally decide on Texas?
Well, I was born in Texas, and so our oldest son, who is a pastor down in Houston, Texas, he and his family and my three grandkids with him are down in Houston, and so we needed to get back. Also, Annette's mother was aging, and we thought we need to get closer to home. They may need us, and sure enough, it was the right move at the right time, and even though we love Nashville and enjoyed our time there and made some best friends there, and we go back often because my oldest daughter still lives there with her family, so it's kind of our second home, so we're back and forth a lot, but coming back to Texas was a good move for us, and we've been here 8 years now.
That's awesome. I love that. I bet the weather's pretty incredible down there too.
You know, it got really hot this summer. This was one of those record summers where we had many, many days over 100, over 105. So this summer tested our mettle a little bit, but for the most part, like right now, this time of year, it's, you know, it's in the high 70s today. It's absolutely beautiful outside. And so fall and winter is really nice down here in the Texas Hill Country. We're situated between Austin and San Antonio, kind of a triangle there in a community called Fredericksburg, Texas. And we actually live out in the country.
Oh, nice. Okay. Very cool. So the reason you're here is to talk about a specific diet that you're on, which is the carnivore diet. And you look incredible, Jimmy, by the way.
Thank I just you. Want to say Thank that. You. Appreciate
it looks
that.
Like you've been doing very well in your travels and on that carnivore diet. So I understand that you were somewhat fit and somewhat in good health before you started the carnivore diet. So can you kind of share with us why you actually decided to start that lifestyle?
Certainly. And this is really an easy question for me. you know, when you have your why clear, then you can pretty much engage anything. And so our why has been very clear. First of all, Annette and I've always been health conscious. I was an athlete growing up, always played high school football, basketball, baseball, ran track. I mean, we did it all, raced motorcycles, all that stuff growing up. So it was always very active. And actually, Annette and I met in a gym. And to this day, we still go 4 and 5 times a week. So we've stayed very active, very engaged. She's a machine. She's in incredible shape. And so we attribute a lot of our health and our physique and our life to doing that well. Several years ago, we discovered the ketogenic diet and, you know, read the science, did the research. And at that time, this would have been 5 years ago, it made sense to us. And so we made that adjustment and we did that for a number of years. Then COVID hit and that we couldn't go to the store. We had a daughter at home at that time who had a lot of really bad food in the pantry. And we ended up falling victim back into that. And there was such a marked difference in the way we felt and the way our bodies responded to food. And so we re-engaged keto off and on, still not feeling as good as we did when we were pure keto. So this last year, the church that we serve blessed us with a 2-month sabbatical this summer. So starting in July, we said, all right, we've got 3 things we're gonna focus on: mind, body, and spirit. And we went into that sabbatical, and the first thing we did was re-embrace keto hardcore. So we went through the whole keto flu again. It was like starting over. And immediately, in about 2 weeks, we began to see those benefits again. We began to feel good again. And then we heard about the way of eating carnivore, because my oldest son, who's a pastor in Houston now, he was looking at carnivore. So he came and spent a week with us and we did research. We jumped online. We did what a lot of people do. And that is we started YouTubing and started just doing searches for carnivore. And of course, as you know, as of this last summer, and it's become so popular, there were so many good videos on it. And we immediately found Dr. Anthony Chafee and Dr. Ken Berry. And actually, one of the first videos we saw was of them doing a Q&A. And it was so good and so full of information. All 3 of us, we said, you know what? We should bite the bullet. And I mean, we're rip the Band-Aid off kind of people. So we said, let's just dive in. So that's what we did. We dove into it. And we didn't tell anybody we were doing it because we were on sabbatical. So we, by nature of a sabbatical, we were disconnected, which was perfect timing to do this. So we also were able to go to the gym 5 days a week. We offloaded a lot of the weight and pressure and responsibility of leading a larger church. And so it was really the perfect time for us. Same with my son. He was on his sabbatical at the same time. And so we are now, as of today, 121 days into it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I cannot even start to reiterate the benefits. I'll start sounding like Carrie if I start doing that. I become a carnivore evangelist of sorts.
Right. That's awesome. So before we jump into that list, you said that you kind of had some expectations ahead of time in terms of what, you know, you might see as a result of doing this way of eating. Did it meet your expectations?
Beyond, honestly. So the first 2 to 3 weeks when we went full on, and I went, Annette, I would say more ketovore. I was like, I'm all in. Because once I heard the science, once I saw the research, heard the testimonies, found Carrie online and some of those guys that weren't doctors, but yet had amazing testimonies, mm-hmm. Sean and others. And so, and you, and so as we dove into this, I went full bore. So about, now this is what no one talked about a lot, even though it's mentioned, because I think once we get past those initial phases of transitioning and our bodies are refueling and retooling and recalibrating, I would want to talk to anyone, and we've had many people now since getting on it just because we have. Mm-hmm. And I would always tell them, be gentle, be kind with yourself the first 3 weeks and go easy on your expectations, because you're going to have an adjustment period. You're going to be lethargic. If you're a gym rat, you may not be for a while. You're going to need to lower your expectations, because we just kept going full bore, just like what we're doing. And then I began to really have the fatigue. But I knew what was going on. I knew what to expect. So nothing surprised us. And but we continued to work out, just at a much diminished, you know, place. Mm-hmm. And about 3 weeks into it, and also my stomach was tore up. I was going through all of that. I learned, and just to use frank language, I learned not to blind fart anymore. I'd had a bad experience with that. We both did. It's funny now. Back then it was like, oh my gosh. And so we learned a lot in those first 3 weeks. But, you know, we were so committed to this, and our why was clear. Let me back up on the why, because I think that's important. Being a pastor for 38 years, I've buried a lot of people. And what I've noticed over the last couple of years, as I've done probably about 10 to 12 funerals in the last year and a half, 2 years, unusual amount, wow, is that 90%+ of the people that I had the privilege to escort over the line, so to speak, died too young. Mm-hmm. They had not lived a full life. They died in their 60s and their 70s. And the last years and months or years of their life, they were extremely diminished in their capacity. They were just wrought with physical issues, mobility issues, inflammation, some with early onset of dementia. And I watched that, and I remember talking to Annette. I said, Annette, we need to take this as a wake-up call to us. Too many people are dying too young. There's got to be more to this. And this is before we discovered Dr. Chafee and Ken Berry. And I said, we need to do some things that are preventive in nature. Friends of mine who are moving into their 80s, who are beginning to lose their memory capacity and whatnot. And I know what they eat. I know their lifestyle. They're wonderful, wonderful people, but you don't know what you don't know. And some of these precious people didn't know. And so that was one of our wake-up calls and one of our whys. The other why was Annette's sister, who at 69 years of age told us that she had type 2 diabetes. And we didn't get to spend a lot of time around them because they're pastors too. So we all work on the same schedule, and so we don't get to see each other a lot. And the last time we were contacted by them, it turned out she was going to have a kidney transplant. And it was all because of diabetes and not doing well. So Annette volunteered herself to be tested to do that for her. So we got together with them, learned more about their lifestyle. Their doctor had set her up on a diet that was horrific. I mean, the night before she was going in for her major testing to see if she could even be a candidate for a transplant, her sister was eating a Whataburger, fries, ketchup, soda. And we were like, what are you doing? And we were ketogenic by that time, so we were much more conscious. And she said, well, my doctor said this was okay. And I just said, I don't mean to be rude, and I'm not a doctor, but this is not okay. And sure enough, she was not accepted as a recipient, and she died about 6 months later.
Oh my God.
That's Annette's why. Because Annette does not want to be pre-diabetic or move down that track. And so because our whys are so clear, it has really helped us stay diligent and focused.
I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, you also had mentioned that it's not Jimmy or Annette, it's Jimmy and Annette. So you guys are both doing this together. But I love that.
And as you know, that's really key. It is difficult when we have some dear friends who she wanted to jump on the train with us. It's Annette's best friend. And so she jumped on the train. Her husband's not there. And even though she really gave it her best shot, she hit that 3-week period of what have I done? You know, is this going to be okay? Am I going to get through this? And mm-hmm. she ended up kind of moving back towards a more ketovore, ketogenic, and felt like she couldn't do full on carnivore because he's not participating with her. And he's a great guy and it's nothing on him. It's just, he doesn't see the need for it. And he seems to be fine. But we've seen that over and over, being pastors at some level, having influence over a lot of people, as people have watched our journey over the last 4 months, every Sunday, people are coming to me going, okay, Pastor Jimmy, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're obviously losing weight. You look healthy. You got more energy than I've ever seen. What's going on? And so we've had a great opportunities to share our journey with others, both Annette and I.
That's awesome. I love that. So has there been any medical benefits? You were already healthy, so it doesn't seem like you really had much going on in terms of that, but has there been any medical benefits that you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that my family seems to have a proneness to is hypertension, high blood pressure. And about 5 years ago, I started noticing it creeping up. And whenever I'd go to give blood or whatever, they would say, you're really elevated. Or I'd go get my annual and my doctor, who's actually a dear friend of mine, would say, all right, Pruitt, you need to start watching things. And I said, well, he said, you're elevated. And so about 2 years ago, two and a half, I did what everybody else did. I called my brother, who was already on a medication. I said, Jerry, what are you taking? He said, I'm taking this. I don't think I have side effects. I feel great. It's brought it down. So I started taking what he was taking. And I told my doctor, my friend, he said, nah, that's great. I'm going to go ahead and put you on that. So I went on medication. And not only that, because there was a proneness in my family to heart disease, my mother passed away at 45 years of age from a heart attack. And my grandfather, unusually young as well, from heart issues. I was put on a statin probably 10 years ago. And wow. Because of high cholesterol. Of course, I heard the same rhetoric that everybody else does. You know, you got to keep it down under 200. You know, you're all the same rhetoric. And so I said, well, what do you recommend? Well, we need to put you on a statin. I said, okay, let's do it. I mean, not knowing any better. I always say this, you don't know what you don't know. And don't beat yourself up for what you don't know. But now that you know and you're learning, take responsibility for that. And so so that got me on these medications. Well, not only that, as when I got up into my 50s and now in my early 60s, our other doctor who does hormone therapy and all that is like, well, now you've got menopause, you got low testosterone. We need to get you on shots. We need to get you taking HG, you know, all the different things. And so I ended up on this regimen as well as Annette of just, you know, most of them were supplements. Only two of those, three were prescription, the statin, the high blood pressure medicine, and the testosterone, the T shots. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, every night before I went to bed, I had to put on, including the supplements, probably 12 pills, different things. Ooh, wow. And I thought, this is getting old real quick. Annette had bought one of those large caddies that has all the different, she's just filling that thing up. Every time we traveled, I'd have to stock up for 8 days of supplements, and it really got ridiculous. And I thought, this is not right. Something's not right here. And it wasn't until we found carnivore, or maybe carnivore found us, or God led us to it, I believe, that we realized we were taking a ton of stuff that we don't have to if we would eat the proper human diet. And so that was, again, another one of our whys of this is not good. So within 3 weeks, my blood pressure went back to normal, 120, 130, over 75, 76. I was taking it every day. And then I began to wean off the medication. I did that over about a 2 week period and it never changed. My blood pressure has been perfectly normal now. I'm going to go back in and do labs. I have a CAC scheduled. Annette just had hers, and she scored a zero on that. It was fantastic.
Oh, awesome.
And then, I know, I'm like, well, she really raised the bar for me. Now I'm a little nervous. So I have mine a week from Friday, so I'll go in and get my CAC. She already had her blood panel done recently, and her numbers are off the chart, spot on. There was only a couple of things that were high or low, and they were within 2 or 3 points. I mean, just right there. Her doctor, in fact, and she didn't tell her doctor she was doing carnivore until she got her labs. And her doctor said, you need to keep doing what you're doing because it's working. These are the best I've ever seen your labs.
Oh, that's
so great. I'll be getting mine soon as well. Yeah, I'm excited about it. Isn't that weird? Looking awesome. Forward to it.
Looking forward to blood work.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, that's good that you have a supportive doctor. You know, that seems to be somewhat rare.
Yes. In fact, she's the one who suggested the ketogenic diet to us, but back 5 years ago when we started that.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay. So, so as of now, are you off all of these medications?
Oh yeah. I'm glad you brought that. Yes. I actually got off the statin immediately. I watched a video from Dr. Barry who said you can stop a statin immediately. So I stopped that. The other one I wanted to wean off. So I did, I weaned off. So completely off of that. The only thing I'm still taking, and it's only because I had an exceptionally low T count, testosterone count back 5 years ago when I went, and I'm waiting to see in my next blood panel where I'm at. So I'm still doing the T shots. I've spread them out where I'm not doing them as often, but when I go back and do my next panel, I'm going to have that conversation with my doctor on that because I want to wean off that. So I'm going to monitor that and see where I'm at. And I have a good feeling that with the amount of beef that I'm ingesting right now, I better have high testosterone right now because I am really, really killing it. And so I'm looking forward to, I really believe I'm going to be able to get off of that.
That's awesome. Do you feel like you do, or has your wife noticed that you do?
Oh, we feel amazing. The benefits in terms of not only the health and in terms of medical benefits have been amazing, but the energy and the vitality of life. You saw our podcast. It's called Living Up in a Down World. So I'm a positive guy by nature anyway, but I'm telling you, this has taken us off the charts. And the energy that we have, and the even our church has noticed. They're like, you guys are on fire. You're like, you're bouncing off the walls practically. I'm like, I know. And here's what I discovered during the sabbatical and when we started carnivore. Sometimes you don't know how tired you are until you're not. And sometimes you don't know how unhealthy you are until you're not. And so by doing the sabbatical, mind, body, spirit, resting, taking off the load and responsibility, and getting our mental life in focus, our spiritual life in focus, and then engaging our body, our physical life in focus, it has elevated our energy to a level that I did not think I could ever have again. And that's why we go to the gym 5 days, 6 days a week, because we've got the energy to do it. Plus, our church is growing. We're about to go to 3 services in January. And even my staff this week was saying, are you sure you can do 3 services? Because not only do I preach 3 services, I play guitar on the worship team. So it's like, you know, 6 hours of nonstop, you know? And I'm like, I am so ready for this. Let's do it. And so I've just got this belief and trust that now that my body is functioning as it was meant to function and designed to do, and in a sense, turning the clock back a little bit, I believe that we've got the energy we need to do whatever we're supposed to do at this point.
Absolutely. I love that. You know, it's so strange that just by eating from this section of the grocery instead of that section of the grocery, you can multiply your energy level by, I mean, four times or more. It's just incredible.
and what that's done for me, Adam, you're so on point, is because I feel so good, there is no way I want a piece of cake. There's no way I want a slice of bread. There's no way I want all the sides that waitresses insist on bringing to the table, right? You know, because I can't believe I don't want sides. And I just push everything off. And it's because I'm not even tempted because I feel so good. And if you feel this good and you feel like your body is functioning in the way it was created to function, then why would you ever want to go back to feeling bad again? And so that's what has happened to both Annette and I. We feel so good that there's no temptation. We can walk through the bakery section of the grocery store. We have HEB in Texas, which is a huge grocery store. It's very well known. We can walk through that bakery and it almost makes us ill to even look at all those goodies that are not goodies. They're baddies now to us. Right. And so there's just no temptation.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, you know, looking through the grocery store, walking through the grocery store, it's essentially you have food, which is the meat section, essentially meat and dairy and eggs. And then you have food products. It's not really food. It's just something that
exactly.
you can ingest if you want to. But yeah, it's not really food. So definitely this diet has changed that perspective for me for sure.
Yes.
One thing I want to hit on with you is since you have done the ketogenic diet and you've done the carnivore diet, what are the differences that you've seen between the two? Is there differences in terms of those temptations that you talked about?
I would say so, because for me, and I'm just going to speak for me, not for Annette, but for me, I was such a sugarholic. I mean, I grew up with a sweet tooth. I grew up in the South. I mean, it's almost genetic here. I think it's in the bloodstream when you're born. And so I grew up, you know, eating sweets. I was a latchkey kid, me and my brother. My mom worked. My dad was a firefighter. So they were busy. So we grew up foraging, you know, raiding our pantry, which means we could eat what we wanted to eat, which is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And it was only by God's grace I didn't weigh 300 pounds. You know, I was able to, because I was so active, I was able to stay in relatively good shape. Mm-hmm. And thankful for that. And so growing up that way, it was just so normal and so natural. I bought into the rhetoric that everybody else does. You know, if it says on the Pop-Tarts box, you know, it's healthy and packed with nutrients and, you know, packed with essential vitamins, you know, I'm like, really? Pop-Tarts are good for you? Hey, pass me a package. You know what I mean? We just grew up that way. And we bought into the food pyramid and everything that we were told to believe, unquestioning. And because our school cafeteria was saying this is the healthy meal for an adolescent. So we ate what they gave us. And so we grew up that way. And I had to overcome that. Now, the ketogenic diet for us was a big kickstart. That was great. But I have to tell you, I had an aversion to meat only because every time I ate red meat, I always felt like it blew me up. And I had IBS my whole life. That's another thing that got turned around within 3 weeks. But I thought, every time I eat red meat, I seem to get sick to my stomach. What I didn't realize, it wasn't the red meat that was making me sick. Mm-hmm. It was the potatoes with the cheese and all the stuff on top and the sour cream. It was the massive salad I ate. It was the processed green beans I was eating out of a can. And I began to realize once we got into carnivore that it wasn't the meat making me sick. Never was. It was always the extra, the ancillary foods, the sides. That's what was making me sick. Now, I connected the dots fairly in the middle of our 5-year journey of ketovore, our ketogenic diet. I realized that every time I ate a salad, I just felt massively bloated. And I was like, I thought this was healthy for me. I didn't connect the dots that it was literally fermenting in my gut. And I literally couldn't process it. My body couldn't handle it. Two, not only did I eat a salad, but like if I went to a salad bar, I ate everything else on the salad bar and somehow classified that as healthy. Because it's on a salad bar, right?
Right.
So everything else. So, I mean, not only did I eat that, I was eating the cottage cheese, which wasn't the worst thing, but then the pineapple I added to that and the strawberry, just everything that's on a salad bar. And I would always feel sick again. And so I really began to realize about the middle of keto that while I did lose weight, while I did feel better, I realized my stomach wasn't getting any better. It didn't help that at all. Mm-hmm. But it helped other things, but not that. And so I found myself struggling, thinking I should feel better than this. I didn't know that there was another level. I just didn't know until this last summer.
Right. So, wow. That's quite a story, especially with the IBS. I know a lot of people have had issues with that. And the feeling that red meat gives you when you're kind of eating that ketogenic or even a standard American diet. And at least for me, my body wasn't producing enough bile to, break that meat down because I was eating so much junk and vegetables that my pH, stomach pH was too high. It wouldn't break it down. So it just kind of sit in there like a lead rock. And once I went full carnivore and my body started producing more of that bile and it's, lower acidity and able to break it down, it was like, woo, this is great.
I feel good. I don't feel sick every time I eat, or I don't have that afternoon crash after I eat lunch.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So did you you still had the issues then? You still had to be on the statin and the blood pressure medicine while you were keto?
I did through keto because I didn't have any really good counsel in terms of what the keto had the potential to do for me in other areas of my health. I just didn't, we didn't do the research that deeply. We didn't know about, we were just still buying into a lot of the medical rhetoric. Again, didn't know what we didn't know. And so, so I stayed on those through that time. It wasn't until I embraced the carnivore diet back in July and did my research and watched, as many people do when they step into this, hours and hours of YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize I had bought into a lie. This is not true. So when I made the decision to wean off of those, I had no fear whatsoever because I really believed the research and the sound thinking that was around the carnivore diet. It just made sense to me, especially the paleontological things, mm-hmm. that about, this is how our ancestors ate. This is how you kill an animal, you eat, then you fast until you kill another one. I thought, that makes absolute total sense to me. The other thing that made sense to me that helped me move through that was the idea that if my body is only having to digest one thing, then I may be better off in my stomach and my bowels and my bio system. And sure enough, 3 weeks into that, everything switched for me. Once I got past the initial stage of it just got worse, but I knew what was going on. I understood that. But once I got past that, it has been no turning back. I mean, there's not had occasionally a loose bowel movement and all that, but that's normal. Sometimes I overdo it on the fat because I'm all about the fuel but that's okay. That's just part of it, but it's rare now. And it's getting more rare the further we get into this. Same for Annette.
That's awesome. So I love what you said, where you took responsibility and you said that you bought into the lie. You didn't say that they lied to me or anything like that. And I feel the same way. I'm the one that bought into the lie. I'm the one that believed it. And I took action off of that. I definitely don't place the blame somewhere else. They can say and do whatever they want, but it's up to me to, accept that or not. So I'm glad that the wool was taken off of my eyes by the likes of Dr. Barry and Dr. Chafee and all these guys out here. I mean, it's absolute blessing.
Yeah. Well, there's something really powerful when you own something, and you own a mistake, or you own not knowing, you own not doing your research. And I just feel like God really blesses that. And when we're humble ourselves and we say, you know what, this isn't on anybody else, this is on me. If I didn't feel good, I could have researched, I could have gone deeper. It's not to beat yourself up or condemn yourself either. It's simply to recognize I have more of a role to play in this than I thought. I need to take responsibility for my own health, my own well-being, my own peace. And so that's what happened to us this summer. And it's literally changed our lives. So much so I have to guard myself with people who are uninformed.
Right.
Because I do sound like a carnivore evangelist. It's almost, I have to stop myself and go, I'm so sorry. I just overwhelmed you with information you may not even care about, Right. But it's funny sometimes.
I agree. It's hard to contain yourself. That's why I had to start this YouTube channel. I got,
I can have an outlet and people can walk away from the conversation by turning it off if they want to.
There you go. But you still have that outlet to say, right, this news is so good, I've got to share it. I've got to get it out.
Absolutely. Yeah,
good for you. Sure.
Yep. So have you experienced any challenges on eating this way in terms of, especially like when you're traveling and things like that? And how do you navigate that?
Well, I actually read that question to Annette. I was reading all the great questions. I was reading through that and we looked at each other and just like puzzled, like, not really. I mean, so awesome. when we travel, and we've done a lot of travel as well. In fact, we'll be going up to Colorado in another week for our anniversary, doing a little trip. But what we have done, I have found that if you will go in and you sit down at your table, and when your waiter or waitress, your server comes to the table, simply take one nanosecond to explain. And I don't try to deceive by going, I'm allergic to these things. I just say, our way of eating, our lifestyle is that we eat meat only. And so there's no need to bring sides or bread or anything before the meal. We just want good meat. And I try to make it lighthearted. I always get those puzzled looks. But what we are finding is that it's how you frame things, right? If we are positive, we're life-giving, our buckets are overflowing with life and vitality, and we're cutting up about it nine times out of 10, they actually enjoy the conversation. And nine times out of 10 times, they will start asking questions because they'll say, you guys look great. And we'll go, yeah, I turned 62 in January. And they're like, what? You know, I'm like, yeah, I said, this thing works, you know? And so it's really been fun to talk to waiters and waitresses about it. And then we ate at a steak place just down the street this week. And actually the chef came out and wanted to talk to us. And I started asking about his beef. I said, well, tell me about your beef. Do y'all do local, or you guys, is it grass fed, grain finished? You know, and he was so excited that someone knew about beef that he stayed at our table through the whole meal. He was one of many chefs. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm dominating your time. I said, brother, this is joyful for us. He said, well, I'm about 90% carnivore. He said, I'm pretty much there. And but I'm finding that if you frame it well, people want to know, you know, why are you so happy? Why are you so up? You know, why are you so positive? And we're always very kind and gentle with our waiters and waitresses, because a lot of them have no clue and they'll try to force their sides on you. Please, let me bring you these potatoes. It comes with the meal. I'm like, no, we're good. So it's actually comical sometimes, but almost every time we get to share a little bit and they really want to know, they're interested in what we're doing.
That's awesome that you've had that experience. And the reason I ask that question is because I get that question a lot on my channel. You know, what do I do when I go out to eat? And a lot of times it's from people that are considering the carnivore diet.
Yes.
They just don't understand, how everything works.
Yes.
So
communication is the key, as it is in so many things. I will always say, hey, can I ask you a question to the waiter or waitress? Do you cook your meat, your steaks in any kind of vegetable or seed oil, or do y'all cook in butter, or do you just open grill? I always ask, and they're always delighted to tell you, oh, we use canola oil, you know, like, which just happened last night. Right. And I said, well, I can't do canola seed oil, so would you mind just cooking mine in butter? And she goes, yeah, I'll tell the chef. I've not had one person say, no, we can't do that. And again, it's how you frame it. Be positive. Don't be demanding. Just be firm and say, be clear. But you can do that with a smile and disarm people with that smile. And we've not had anyone resist. Not one. And what is interesting, this happens a lot, is if there's somebody at a table close by or in a booth behind us, oftentimes they'll start asking us questions. Now, you did what? Why did you order that? I mean, it's hilarious, actually.
Right.
Or why did you order a pound of barbecue at a barbecue joint and you have no sauce, no beans, no no potato salad, nothing? And this is Texas, too. So barbecue is king down here, brisket. And we're like, no, we don't eat that way. And we don't tell people it's a diet. We just say, this is our lifestyle. I've kind of got that diet word out of the vocabulary because that always... That can have bad connotations. So I just say, no, we do the carnivore. We do a carnivore lifestyle. This is our way of eating. This is how we eat. And so again, framing and communicating really helps.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I agree with you 100% with the terminology. I use lifestyle and way of eating when I'm talking to someone, but on YouTube, I have to use the word diet because
that's
what people search for. So
yes, of course. Unfortunately,
I'd like to put in lifestyle, but nobody's looking for that. So
you're right.
If I want to help somebody, I got to use it, unfortunately.
That's true.
But yeah, I had the similar experience yesterday with a waitress with the seed oils. And I said, you know, do you have chicken that's not breaded? And she goes, I think we can grill some chicken for you. I said, okay, well, is it cooked? You know, what do you cook it in? And she said, well, why are you asking? I said, well, I don't eat vegetable oils and seed oils. And she said, well, let me check. So she came back, or she went and checked. She came back and she said, well, it's a blend of vegetable oil, canola oil, and soybean oil.
Of course.
So I think you're probably okay. And I'm like, no.
You're having a visceral reaction.
Right, yeah. So I was like, can you tell them to just put it on the grill plane? Just grill it, put it on a plate, and I'm good to go. And well, what about your sides?
Yep.
She kept persisting with the sides. And I'm going to try that trick that you shared to preface everything. You know, give them a little hint to start with next time.
Yes. Yes.
Because she was very insistent on the side.
We've had those too. Yeah.
Yep. So you had mentioned that your congregation has noticed, benefits with you and things like that. So have you had any interesting conversations or anything like that around
every Sunday? Every Sunday, somebody approaches me and says, okay, what are you doing? You look amazing. Because we've not said anything. One of the commitments Annette and I made is that we're not going to say anything from the pulpit or the platform in regards to diet, or lifestyle or way of eating. And so we've stuck with that. But every week, literally somebody comes and talks to us. And because when we did the ketogenic diet 5 years ago, a lot of people from our church jumped on board because they saw the results. They saw us lose weight. They saw us feel better and look healthier. And so, man, they jumped on. And we've got quite a few people who are still doing that or have re-embraced it. So now that we're doing this, so the shock and awe, the shock factor was the reveal. We had been on it 2 months while we were at our sabbatical, and no one from our church had seen us because we were not going to church. We were on sabbatical. So we knew that from that 2 month period, we'd both collectively, we lost about 45 pounds together, both of us. And people would say, you didn't really need to lose weight, but I had the subcutaneous fat. Even though I was big and working out, it was not all muscle. It looked like muscle, but it really wasn't because once I started dropping the weight on carnivore, I realized I'm not as big as I thought I was, but I'm muscular and it's lean muscle mass now. It's not quite Dr. Chafee, but it's lean muscle mass. And so I appeared to be getting smaller, but really I'm just healthier. And so people have every Sunday it happens. So we just share a little bit of our story right then, you know, just a little elevator pitch kind of thing and saying, you know what, we upgraded. The way I say it is we biggie size or we upgraded from keto to carnivore. And they're, oh, I heard about that. And I said, well, let me tell you who to go listen to. Go check out Dr. Barry or go check out Dr. Chafee. I always refer either one or both of those because they're easy to remember too, the names. Right. Yep. And sure enough, we've got several people now starting to do it, experimenting, asking questions. And the way we look at it is, we just answer the questions. We're not pushing anything. We do care about our people. And I believe that as we continue to introduce the what I call total life wellness, which is mind, body, spirit, I think there'll come a time when I'll be able to address some things from the platform having to do with the way we eat, because to me, it's just as important as the other two, you know? So I think that's going to become a part of this. And I see some things down the line where I'll be able to maybe help some people from a pastoral perspective as a carnivore reverend, Rev, to be able to help them as it can also help other areas of their lives, not just the physical.
That's awesome. I love that. So that's a perfect segue into the next question, which is, so eating a carnivore diet, how has it impacted your spirituality? and your connection with God?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question, Adam. I look at it as like a three-legged stool. And as long as all those legs are even and exactly the same length, everything works great. But you cut 8 inches off of one of those legs, that's not going to work anymore. And a lot of people are living their lives really out of balance, like a three-legged stool with one of the legs too short. And that could be the physical. I know, being a Christian and coming from that perspective, a faith perspective, I know a lot of believers who love God deeply and passionately, who have some good mental health issues going. They're doing well. They've dealt with trauma. They've dealt with past issues. And yet they have not conquered the physical. Mm-hmm. And you know, if I ever say, hey, we should fast at the beginning of the year, I almost have a revolt, you know, from the church. Fasting, there's no way I'd fast.
Right.
And, you know, like, you mean not eat food? Let's do the Daniel fast. At least I can have vegetables. No, that's even worse. And so it's kind of interesting. So for me, when we pulled all three into focus, and that is we focused on each of them equally, it actually enhanced the others. There was such a synergy that happened. And now we feel like we're sitting on a stool that's level. It's not rocking back and forth. It's not precariously leaning to one side. It's level. And what that has done and produced in us is a confidence and a strength. And me as a leader, I'm leading much more confidently and much stronger than I was before. And people say, wow, this sabbatical was so good for you. You came back on fire. Our church is growing. Good things are happening. I'm like, it's not just that I came back on fire. It's because we took care of the whole person and not just one area. And that's where I see, just as a commentary, in the church world and the Christian world, we focus so much on the spiritual, sometimes to the neglect of the mental health area and the physical. And so that's something I want to try to help shore up and begin to speak into that from that perspective as well, to get the body, mind, and spirit balanced.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, especially since you had referred to, you know, the mind, body, and spirit, which is the three legs of that stool. And then, you came back from your sabbatical and you had your stool fixed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
Thanks.
So do you think that, obviously, at least for me, the carnivore diet has kind of removed this, I don't know, it's almost like a filter, a spiritual filter. Some people call it brain fog or whatever it is.
Yeah. But
at least for me, it seems like I can't really explain it. It's like I think so much more clearly now, and I feel like I'm more connected spiritually than I ever was. Is that the same for you?
Absolutely. One author, John Eldridge, calls it the fog of war, which really is what it feels like. We came out of COVID. Culturally, we traumatized. We're still traumatized. We haven't fully recovered. It's going to take years for that recovery to happen culturally, mm-hmm. societally. And so coming out of that, all of us had what I would call the fog of war. Sometimes that can be diet related, obviously, when you're full of all kinds of toxins and whatnot. And definitely I suffered with that, as did Annette. And we both had that, where we were struggling to have clarity. And we started to even have minor memory lapses. Can't remember that name or can't remember that whatever. And it began to be a little worrisome. And so when we engaged full on the carnivore lifestyle, that thing evaporated in about a month. I mean, maybe even sooner. It seemed very, very immediate, where there was clarity, there was focus, greater concentration, no memory. I mean, it just seems like everything, here's the way I put it. It's like life went into high definition. It's like we were back at 720 and all of a sudden we're at 1080 and now we're beyond, we're 4K, moving towards 5K. It's like things are clearer. Everything is clearer. The sky is clearer when I walk out and look up. I mean, I see things I didn't see before because I'm not distracted by the fog. I'm not in a fog. I'm seeing clearly. I notice things. I noticed an amazing sunset last night. I noticed the deer across the way. We have a lot of deer here in the hill country, and saw the deer graze. I'm just noticing more. So I think for me, it's caused me to live my life with my eyes wide open and live more aware.
I love that. That's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I have similar experiences and just the small little things. You know, a bird sitting on a fence. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a peculiar little bird. I love that. You know, what a great creation that was, you know, and just something simple.
Yes.
Being able to appreciate it. Whereas before you would just walk on past or, you know, not even notice it was there.
Absolutely.
Yep. So if someone was to, let's say, for instance, somebody's looking to start the carnivore diet and Jimmy Pruitt happens to be standing there. What is Jimmy gonna say to them in terms of top tips, or I wouldn't say advice because you can't really do that, but your top tips on what this person can do if they're looking to start the carnivore diet?
Well, I mean, even before talking about the technical aspects of a diet or a way of eating, I think before that, it's so important to get your why clear. Once the why is clear, the rest of it is much more easy to navigate. So when people ask me about it, I'll say things like, oh yeah, I was able to start eliminating things, which that word eliminate scares people. You know what I mean? Like you don't do dessert anymore. Now, I just had this conversation with our contractor at our church. He's doing all of our build out now, and he's a great guy, but he's also struggled with cancer. And I was talking to him about how sugar and various things will feed cancer. And why would you want to feed that monster? You know? Right. So we were having a conversation. He's a great guy. He said, so you're telling me you don't eat sugar. You have no sugar. I said, I am so free from sugar. I said, I feel like an addict who's completely cleansed and I feel better than I've ever felt. And he said, so what about potatoes? And I said, look, here's the thing. If you know something's killing you and you know it's not good for you, why would you even want to put it in your body? And he said, well, okay. And I said, but let me just be straight. I said, you just have to have a clear why. And because I have clear whys and Annette has clear whys, the rest is just technique and learning new practices and new habits. It's not like a great effort. I mean, there is effort obviously to it and intentionality, but when the why is clear, it'll push you through those beginning stages. So anyway, that's the first thing I always talk about. The second is I'll go into just some of the explanation of what the standard American diet is doing to our bodies. I'll say, you live with brain fog. I said, you feel inflammation. I said, you think you have injuries in your body from high school football, but it's really not. It's just inflammation. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask them questions like, so do you ache when you get up in the morning and walk through the house? And like, oh, you have no idea. And I'm like, no, actually, I know exactly what you're talking about. My knees pop. I'm snap, crackle, and pop all the way to the coffee pot. And I'm like, wow, wouldn't it be fun to not have that? Wouldn't it be fun that maybe your first step or two is still warm up, but by the time you get three steps into it, you're walking upright, you're walking tall, you've got a pep in your step in the morning, you're waking up earlier, more rested than you ever were before, and you're sleeping through the night. Wouldn't that be? I just share with them the benefits. And then, of course, they'll ask questions about what it really looks like. But the why is clear. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you want to feel better? Can you imagine having energy at 70 years of age and not feeling like you just want to take a nap and just, Jesus, come take me home? I mean, how good would it be to say, no, wait, I'm doing good right now. There's more to do. I'm not done. And I always tell our older congregation, I said, you know, if you have a pulse, you still have a purpose. There's still a promise for your life. Don't retire, refire, because you're not done yet. And so what I'm doing is using a carnivore way of eating to talk to people about, you still have vitality. You just don't know it. It's actually there. We can uncover it and discover it again. And so that's what excites me about something that has so benefited us and the fact that we've got good information from people like you, Adam, and others, Dr. Barry Chafee, all the others, Sean Baker, all these guys, mm-hmm. that I can now direct them to do the research. We now have a place to send people to do it themselves. So that's not me breathing down their neck or me telling them. It's now medical professionals and people who've had really radical transformation stories. And those stories are so powerful. So that's what I do. I'm not a doctor. I just know what it's done for me in this 4-month period. And I can direct them to other resources that it's are even more dramatic than ours.
I love that. That is awesome. So you say you're not a doctor, but we all know you really are. You're a spiritual doctor.
Maybe a heart surgeon of right? some kind.
There you go. I love that. So is there anything you want to plug as far as, maybe anything special that you got going on at your church or special outreaches or anything like that?
Well, I mean, something I would share is that Annette and I do a podcast. We're 43 episodes in, and it's called Living Up in a Down World. All you have to do is on any podcast platform. We're on all the platforms. You can just put in Living Up in a Down World, and you'll find it. We tell a lot of our stories. Annette and I are very transparent. We're not the kind of pastors that have it all put together and have it all figured out. In fact, the older I get, I realize the less I know. So we're just real transparent, and we do this show together. It's about an hour long on the podcast, and we talk about our pain. We talk about struggles that we've had throughout our life. We talk about the fact that life is messy, and you don't do life in a test tube. I mean, you do life in the real world, and it's not always clean. So we really try to use that podcast to help people not only in their journey of faith, but their journey of life. And that's why we call it Living Up in a Down World. And our byline is making faith real for the rest of us, because not everybody's a rock star, spiritually speaking. And so we want to try to get it down to where people live. So it's very practical. That's livingupinadownworld.com. That's our website for the podcast. Our website for the church is bridgefbg.com. All of our sermons, I'm the lead pastor, so all my teaching and preaching, which is very practical orientated, is all there. And we do address social issues, medical issues, mental health issues, life issues of what's going on in the world today. And so we're all about making faith real, making it practical. And so again, that's bridgefbg.com. Love to have you join us. We have a large online gathering, and as well as what we do here in Fredericksburg, Texas, in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And so, yeah, those are our main platforms right there.
Awesome. I love that. So we'll make sure that we plug those into the comment or the end of the description below so that everybody can reach out to you there. Now, I know that you probably won't say this, but I'm going to ask, is there a way for folks, fellow carnivores, to donate to your church?
Oh, I appreciate that. One of the ways we call it value for value, the way we operate, particularly in our podcast world, more so than the church. In terms of the church, or in the terms of the podcast, value for value means if what we do adds value to you, then you can add value to us in one of three ways: time, talent, and treasure. So we may have somebody send us artwork for our podcast cover. Hey, that's value. Or they may write a great review for us on our website. That's value. So we don't measure value in dollars per se, but somebody may. We have the ability to do a PayPal donation. Or if you're on a 2.0 podcasting platform like Castomatic or Fountain, those all have value for value opportunities through Bitcoin, doing Satoshis and Boostagrams and all of that. So that's another way to give and support. And we're just very blessed in that. People have been so supportive of the podcast because it is helping people. And what we're seeing is that it's helping people who, I would say by far the most, are people who had faith at a young age, life happened, and then now in their middle or years, they're coming back to faith. And they get to and we always respond to emails and comments because we want to be there to help people. And so one way we can do that is just by being available. And so if anybody watching, who is interested in questions about carnivore. I love to talk about carnivore or spiritual. We're always there to share our story any way we can to help.
I love that. We'll definitely make sure that we get those links from you in order to for folks to connect with you in that way. I know that there's a lot of people that's going to go, this Jimmy guy's awesome. I want to help support him and his mission. So there's definitely going to be an avenue and a route for you to help to do that. Those of you that are watching. And I just want to say that your answer to that was exceeded my expectations. I expected, you know, here's a PayPal link or something like this, but you took it from, you had mentioned 2.0 to like 100.0.
Thank you.
That is so cool that you, you would accept artwork and things like that. I was not expecting that. So that's really cool.
We're not in it for the money. We're in this to help people. That's our mission. Kind of like Carrie, you know, he says, I'm on a mission, and he is on a mission. He is on fire. But we're the same way. Our goal is to help people. And the fact that we've been able to do it for years in the mental health area and in the spiritual area, now with this introduction to this way of eating, this way of life, it's just brought us to another level of excitement in our own life, because we love to share our journey and love to help people. And we want to see people. We're like you. We're like all the carnivore community, which has been such a blessing to us. We walk into the grocery store and we buy our Kerrygold butter, you know, 3 dozen eggs that are pasture raised, maybe meat, typically not. We have local farmers that we use, but we just get a handful of things and we walk in, we look in our basket and it looks pretty skimpy for the most part, but yet it's everything that's good for you. And then we look at somebody else's shopping bag or shopping basket, and not in a judgment way, but in a compassion way. In fact, I bought one of Carrie's shirts, Compassionate Carnivore. I wear it to the gym all the time. Get a lot of looks from that shirt. No one's asked questions yet, but they are looking. But really compassionate in terms of not judging and not criticizing, because again, people don't know what they don't know, and they have been taught false information and they're just operating off that. They just don't know. And so my prayer for people is, Lord, give me the right words so that I don't put somebody off with my story of carnivore and this lifestyle. Give me the right words to help them, because a lot of times Jesus would meet a physical need before he even addressed the spiritual issue. You know, and we see that on the mission field where people will feed somebody and then they're open to hearing about the good news of Christ. I think helping somebody in their way of eating in their life is the same principle. We're helping them with a real world need. And then that may or may not open a door for other conversations, but we're here to help people.
I love that, Jimmy. Well, this has been an absolutely incredible conversation, and I wholeheartedly believe that you're going to bless thousands of people with this message. And, you know, I wish you nothing but the best in your efforts with your church and your congregation and your extended outreach from there as well. It's been an honor to have you on, Jimmy, and I definitely look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thank you, my friend. I do too. And I'm even taking Carrie's advice. Annette and I are talking about doing a YouTube channel ourselves, and Carnivore Rev or something like that. I just made that up. But we want to support the community and do our part to get the word out, and also to really promote the Beefy Initiative and small farmers who are just really struggling right now. We want to get the word out about how we can connect people, customers and people to farmers, so that that doesn't go away. I mean, we need to support that community as well. So we're looking at doing a channel ourselves.
Awesome. I love that. So we'll save that for conversation for the next interview.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
That's a great topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Well, thank you. I appreciate it and hope you have a great day.
Thank you, my friend.
A big thank you to Jimmy for sharing his inspiring journey and insights from his life. Stories like his will no doubt motivate many to seek out a new path to reclaim their mind, body, and health. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.